Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us he gives a keeping of the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor seaman tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the lower lights be burning, send a gleam across the way. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. Yes, you may rescue, you may save.
What he did. Amen. And that way, as you go to communion and you go to partake of communion, you can do it from a position of, man, thank you, God, for what you've done, in a position of gratitude and thankfulness for the great price that Jesus did pay for us. Because I think sometimes we lose sight of how much we have been forgiven because of what Jesus Christ has done. And if we were in an Islamic community and, you know, Allah was always on us, we would be more familiar with that. But being that we're in a religion where Christ has freed us, in a relationship where he has pardoned us, sometimes we lose sight of the fact of how serious sin really is and how much Jesus really had to pay for our sins. So take your Bibles tonight, and I want you to stand with me. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26, and I want to read verses 26 through, 17 through 29 as we stand. Matthew 26, 17, very familiar area of Scripture, and then we're just going to share some verses of Scripture from the Old and New Testament, just talking about what has happened as a result of our sins being forgiven or removed from us. Matthew chapter 26, in verse 17, I'm going to read in all the way down to 25, and then I'm going to ask you to join in at 26. Matthew chapter 26, verse 17, have you join in at verse 26. Bible says, Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. They were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He saith unto him, thou hast said. Now, of course, Judas already knew that it was him. He knew he was going to betray him. He wanted to know if Jesus knew. Of course, Jesus knew. Join it with me at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Father, bless now the next moments that we have as we look at the great price that you paid for our sin. God, help us to be more reflective and more cognizant of the fact that you loved us so much that you did all this for us, that we might be able to be in heaven with you. And I pray that we'll come to the realization that sin is really a high penalty, a high cost, because it cost us our life and we could not afford it. You gave heaven's best for us. Lord, help us to remember that great penalty, that great price that was paid, and rejoice in the fact that Jesus paid it all for us. We love you. We thank you, Lord. Have your hands upon those of us that are ill tonight, those that could not make it. Lord, bless now in these moments of remembrance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Reading Paul Chappell's devotion this week in the Gospel of Luke. And if you read that, this is going to be familiar to you. It says this: salvation is freely provided by God's grace to all who believe, but it was certainly not free. The awfulness of sin and the eternality of hell required a great price to be paid for salvation. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins, Hebrews 10:4. No work of man could atone for sin, and thus for the death of Jesus was required. Nothing that happened to Jesus was accidental. It was God's plan from the beginning that Jesus would live a perfect life, be crucified, and then rise again. Jesus willingly came into the world knowing the price that would be required and willingly paid it. The Savior regarded the cross as an absolute necessity because that was his mission. Rejoice today in the love of God that sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the price for our salvation. And that's what I want us to do, to be able to look at this from a position of being able to rejoice that the price that was paid, we don't have to pay. And that's huge. That is very huge. And when Jesus was sitting down with the disciples back at this time, he had not done it yet, but he was getting ready to go through the cross. And he wanted them to take this time and to remember every time that they partook of the juice and the elements that he was going to go and pay their price on the cross. Hours from the time that he sat down with them to eat the meal, he would be betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He'd be beaten. He would be just marred in different ways. He'd be beaten with a what do they call that thing? Cat of nine tails from the Romans, and skin would be torn. His beard would be plucked out. He would have the thorns planted upon his head. He'd be mocked and scorned. He'd be smitten with the hand. He would be pierced in the side with a thorn. He'd be nailed to a cross, all for them. And he is wanting them to remember that this is all for them. Right. Believe it or not, even Judas Iscariot. Amen. Even Judas Iscariot, who rejected him, even him. And as we come to this time, we want to remember that as well. But we want to remember that we're free from that. And that should give you gratitude, that we're free from that. We don't have to go through that because he went through that. And I say hallelujah. Amen. We don't have to go through that. And so tonight, before partaking of the communion elements, I want us to reflect on what Jesus did by dying in our place for our sins, and keeping in mind what he did as a result of the cross, what we don't have to go through. Amen. What happened to our sins as a result of Jesus's payment for our sins? Of course, the Old Testament, they were always looking forward to the cross. As New Testament believers, we're always looking back to the cross. And so you've got two different perspectives. So as we look at the Old Testament verses of Scripture, they were always looking forward to that. And what did they do for that? They would shed the blood of innocent lambs. And so they would always look forward to that as they shed that blood, covering their sins and confessing their sins, that covered their sins until the time that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, would come and take away the sin. So you and I always look back to that. We don't have to sacrifice any animals. Aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. We don't have to get into the bloody mess of having to take an animal and slit his throat and having it all done just right, having to watch the animal for several weeks in advance to make sure it's the perfect animal, and then giving that animal up, because we have the human sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we look back to the cross and saying, praise God for what the Lamb of God has done to take away my sin. They look forward to it. We look back to it. So let's look at a couple of verses of scripture that will remember that. And first of all, when it comes to our sins, Jesus Christ's blood removes them. Go back to Psalm 103 and verse 12. Psalm 103, verse 12. As a matter of fact, we'll start in verse 8. Psalm 103. What happens to our sins? First of all, he removes them. He removes them. Psalm 103, verse number 8. And notice what it says in verse number 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Hallelujah for that. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. Praise God. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Hallelujah for that. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And praise God for that. Just notice all that we get already. Start back in verse 8. He's merciful. He's gracious. He doesn't have to be. He's slow to anger. He doesn't have to be. How many of y'all get angry with your children right off the bat? Amen. Some of us do.
Amen.
He's plenteous in mercy. He doesn't have to be. You know why? The first offense, he could call us guilty. Yes. By the way, the first time you run a traffic light, the cop doesn't have to have mercy on you. He can give you a ticket right off the bat. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He didn't have to let you go. He didn't have to let you slide. He didn't have to check the computer to see how many warnings or offenses you've got. The cop can give you a ticket the very first time. But the Bible says here, he's plenteous in mercy. It says he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. So in other words, he hadn't given us what we need for our sins.
Amen.
Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He's not giving us back what we get for our iniquities. Verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. And this is the verse that we're looking at. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So he removes our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. Now, if you know anything about science, east never meets west. The farther you go west, east will continue to be in front of you. The farther you go the opposite way east, west is always going to be in front. They never come to each other.
Right.
East and west never meet.
Right.
That's amazing. And he says he's removed our sins, our transgressions that far from us. You say, preacher, why is that so special? Because the word transgressions means revolt or rebellion or trespassing. Or in other words, to go beyond the boundary. So in other words, God says, I set a boundary here. And when you go beyond that, that's transgression. And by the way, all of us have transgressed. We've all gone beyond the boundaries. And God says, I've taken that trespass. I've taken that which you've done, and I removed it as far as the east is from the west.
Yep.
That's good, folks. Jesus died for that. Jesus died for that. So when we come to this time in our service, we're thinking and we're thanking God for taking our trespasses and our transgressions, and as far as the east is from the west, removing them from us, giving us a clean slate with God. That's great.
Yep.
That's great. Well, it gets better. He removes them. But then let's go over to Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. In Isaiah 1:18, we find something else. And we're going to start reading in verse 16 in Isaiah. Verse 16 says this. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Amen. Be great if we could do that, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Only problem is we don't always do that. He removes them, but then he washes them away. Notice what he says in verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So in other words, he washes them away. Our sins there, the word sin means crimes. It means our penalties, our offenses, the things that we have done. He says, your crimes, your penalties, your offenses, although they be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The blood of Jesus Christ has the capability to wash them away.
Yes, sir.
And so he's removing them as far as the east is from the west, but then he's washing them away. Now, they were looking forward to this. We look back to this. The only thing that we have to do is trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's done. It's finished. It's over. And that's a blessing. So when we come to this time, we're thinking, God, I'm glad that Jesus Christ did this for me. He washes them away. He made me as white as snow. By the way, now we can stand in the presence of God Almighty. Amen. Because of what Jesus Christ has done. Well, it gets better. He removes them. He washes them away. But then later on in Isaiah, chapter 43, and find something else out about our sins. Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, we're going to find out he blots them out. He blots them out. So he removes them, Psalm 103. He washes them away, Isaiah 118. But then he blots them out, Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Notice what he says down in verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Again, the same word that we saw before, transgressions, revolt, our rebellions, our trespass, our going beyond the boundary. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. And notice this, will not remember thy sins. That's great. How many times do people in our lives do things and we remember what they did? Jesus says, you know what? Your transgressions, I won't remember them. What you did, I won't remember. We remember what our children did when they were little. If they do something really bad, we never forget it. Remember what our parents did to us sometimes, we never forget it. And we call up that memory. We remember what they did. Remember what that loved one did to us. Remember what that sister did to us. We remember what that brother did to us. Remember what that friend did to us. Remember what that person did to us. And when we see them, we think about it. Hey, I remember what you did. But he says, your sins, I remember them no more. Wow. What a God we serve. I will remember them. Now, you think about the sins that you've done. The devil makes you remember them all the time. And the devil will bring them to your remembrance all the time. But God says, I got better things to do than think about that because Jesus has already paid for that. I remember it no more. So the times when it comes up in your mind, God didn't bring that up. The times when you think about your sins, God is not entertaining that at all. The times when you want to plague your mind and think, oh, how bad I am, Jesus says, I got nothing to do with that because I don't remember that anymore. It's covered under the blood. Praise God. God is good. I'm so glad. He not only removes them and he washes them, he blots them out. He says, I will not remember thy sins. That's great. As we go to partake of what Jesus Christ did, think about how good we have it. I mean, you think about it. The sin that you did yesterday, if you got down to your knees, you forget, ask God to forgive you. He says, under the blood is covered. Not going to remember it. I won't bring it back up. Sins that you committed today, you confess it. It's done. It's over. Not going to remember it anymore. The sins you do tomorrow or the day after, he said, it's done. It's under the blood. Not going to remember it anymore. That's special. And that's why this time is so unique and so special. When we remember what Jesus actually did when he died on the cross, he did something wonderful. I mean, he not only spared us from hell, he not only took us from that pit, and put us in the heavenlies. He said, there's nothing in between. I'm going to die for it all. Well, he blots them out. He washes them away. He removes them. It gets better. Isaiah 44, just one chapter over again. And notice verse number 22. He does something else with our sins, our transgressions. Verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. You ever notice on a cloudy day how it almost seems dark? Mm-hmm. Even though the sun is up in the sky, you can't see it. And the dark clouds can make it look so gloomy and so dark and so dreary. Sometimes you don't even want to wake up. One thing I like about Tucson is that the sun always shines, it seems. And those mornings when the sun is not shining, that's because the clouds are hiding the sun. And those clouds can be so thick, so full of rain and density that they can block out the sun that there seems like there's no sun up there. Amen. And there's coming a time when it's going to be real dark. Mm-hmm. But now it's not that time. But he says the clouds can be so dark. But he says down there, I've wiped them out like a cloud. I blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression. The same way the clouds block out the sun and you can't see the sunlight. He said, I'm not going to see your sin. I'm going to blot them out. The same way those clouds roll across the sky and like a dense carpet, it protects the sun and you can't see any sunlight. I spent 11 years in Belgium and we had many a day like that. Pastor White spent some time in Germany. He remembers it as well. The Lepar spent some time in England. They remember what it was like when those dense clouds would roll over. And sometimes those clouds would come down so low that dense fog would set in. And it was mandatory to have fog lights because you just couldn't see. If you didn't have fog lights, you couldn't see where you were going. You can get into an accident because you just couldn't see in front of you. And the dense fog is those clouds that come down to the earth and you can't see. And I remember on days that it would get so foggy out there that you would look out and you couldn't even see the end of this building right here, this wall. It was just that foggy. And Simone's shaking her head. She remembers those days. She's just coming from over there. Amen. I mean, and you had to have fog lights. Because if you didn't have fog lights, you were you'd run into something or somebody. And that fog is just clouds that had come down to the earth. And Jesus, God says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. He says, I don't see them. And as a cloud, thy sins or thy offenses. So he says, the result, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. That's God. That's our God. That's our God. He wipes them out like a cloud, but not only he wipes them out like a cloud, he blots them out, he washes them away, he removes them. But then in Isaiah 55, 7, he does something else. Isaiah 55 in verse number 7. And again, this is what Jesus did when he died on the cross, when he hung for you and I. Isaiah 55, 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The unrighteous means the unjust person, the wicked person. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God. For notice this, he will abundantly pardon. He pardons them. He pardons them. The New Testament said he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ask. Here it says he abundantly pardons. So it's not just a pardon. He goes way above a pardon. You know, when you go into a restaurant, you like to get served food. You like to get good service, right? But it's nothing like getting abundantly over good service. When the restaurant owner is nice to you or the people are nice to you. I was at the one restaurant, and G2 can remember that, and the owner came out. We was at, what was that place? Claim Jumpers. And the owner came out. And the owner came out, and I was really dissatisfied with my ribs because my ribs did not look good. And I was really dissatisfied. And the owner came out and the owner said, hey, how are your ribs? I said, can I be honest with you? I said, these are Weight Watcher ribs. I said, I want some meat on my ribs. I said, these ribs are really bony. I said, there's no meat on here. And he looked, he said, He said, they do look kind of, and I even pointed to my son. My son had the junior ribs. He had more meat on the junior ribs than I had on the big boy ribs. And I said, now, come on now. I said, now, you know, I said, would you eat these ribs? I said, now, I'll eat them. I said, but I would really like some bigger ribs. And he said, I'll see what I can do. And he bought me out some abundantly bigger ribs. And I thought, now that's a rib. I said, that's a rib. That I can eat that. Amen. G2 looked like, yeah, I can eat that too. Now, y'all, you got yours. Amen. And what happened? He came out. He wanted to make sure that I not just had good service, but I had abundantly good service. And then I ate the Weight Watcher ribs, which didn't take long. But then I ate the big boy ribs, which I had to take home because there was too much big boy ribs. But it was good. And I got abundantly good service. And Pastor and Mrs. White bought me the gift card that I can use to eat on. So it was even better. I didn't have to pay for it. What am I saying here? He says down there, he will abundantly pardon. So God not just pardons. He says, I'm going to, all because of what Jesus Christ did. That's why this time is so special. Never lose sight of what Jesus Christ did for us when he took that penalty. And he abundantly gives us a pardon. Isaiah 55, 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Why? He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Who could turn down something like that? Amen. And before we leave the Old Testament, there's one more in the Old Testament. We'll look at Micah 7:19. Micah 7:19. And in Micah 7:19, a prophet that we very rarely look at, but nonetheless, he's still a major importance, even though he's a minor prophet. We saw in Psalm 103, he removes them. Isaiah 1:18, he washes them away. Isaiah 43:25, he blots them out. So in Isaiah 44:22, he wipes them out like a cloud. Isaiah 55:7, he pardons them. But then in Micah 7:19, he buries them in the depths of the sea. Notice verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Notice how the prophet says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us, God. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Now you think about the depths of the sea. There are some parts of the ocean that man just can't explore just because it's too deep. Because if he goes down that deep, the weight of the water would crush the vehicle in which they were in. The sheer weight of the water, you know, we like to think of water being so buoyant, things like that. Water has weight. Do you know that? You know, say, well, when I go into water, I always float up to the top. All right, put all the water in your swimming pool and then stand underneath it and get hit in the head with it. How would you feel? Dead. Amen. It would crush you. You know, we have this thought that water, oh, water is so buoyant. But if it falls on you, it's not that fun. And imagine going to the depths of the sea and having all that weight of the ocean over you. He's saying, I'm going to take your sins. I'm going to take your iniquities, all that you have, and put it in the depths of the sea. It's not coming back up. It's not coming for anybody to see. It's not going to be around. That's what I'm going to do. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. He buries them in the depths of the sea. Iniquities there is moral evil or perversity, the things that man does, the thoughts that he has, of the moral depravity that man has are his iniquities. And he says, I will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's good. Let's come to the New Testament. New Testament, the Gospel of John. And it was already good in the Old Testament, but it gets better in the New Testament. John, and we read this verse this morning, John chapter 1 and verse 29. And looking at what Jesus did for you and for I, John chapter 1. And notice what he says down here in verse 29. John the Baptist speaking says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And you know what I like about that so much? Taketh is a continual action verb. It's got the TH. That means not only did he take them away, not only is he taking them away, he will continue to take them away in the future because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us of all sin. And so he taketh away. So when he died on the cross, it is finished. He said, every sin is covered. Every sin is accounted for. Every sin has been forgiven. Every sin has been removed. It's been washed away. It's been blotted out. It's been wiped away like a cloud. It's been pardoned. It's been buried in the depths of the sea. It's been taken away because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and praise God. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. We serve a good God. Hey, but wait a minute. I'll give you one more over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And in Hebrews chapter number 10, Hebrews chapter number 8 is what I'm looking for. Hebrews chapter number 8. And he says in Hebrews chapter number 8, for I will be merciful, verse number 12. I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He forgets them. He remembers them no more. Hebrews 10, verse 17, he says basically the same thing. Hebrews 10, 17, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So when it comes to the fact of what Jesus Christ has done for our sins, he removes them, Psalm 103, verse 12. He washes them away, Isaiah 118. He blots them out, Isaiah 43, 25. He wipes them out like a cloud, Isaiah 44, 22. He pardons them, Isaiah 55, 7. He buries them in the depths of the sea, Micah 7, 19. Takes them away, John 1, 29. He forgets them, Hebrews 8, 12 and 10, 17. And so you and I, when we approach this time, that's what we're reflecting upon. That's what we're reflecting upon. And so that's why this time is so important, because guess what? This time only applies to those that have been born again. The ones that partake of this table are those that have been saved and those that have joined together in this local fellowship and been baptized by the glory of God. And so if I've not partaken of God's salvation, then all of that which I just talked about doesn't apply to you. This is a special time. This is a time when he gathered his believers, and the one who betrayed him actually left the time of fellowship to go and betray him to come back. And so that betrayer wasn't even there at this particular time. So this is a special time because it's for those that partook of the pardon, of the removal, of the blotting, of the wiping, of the pardoning, of the burial, of the taking away, of the forgetting. It's for those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for those that have actually said, Lord Jesus Christ, I know I'm a sinner, and this is all what you're talking about in my life. And Lord, I see that you have done that with your blood. And so now I'm going to give you my sin. And in exchange, I want to take your eternal life. And I want to be born again. I want to have new life in you. And that's for those that have done that. Which leads me to the next thing. Who is communion for? Who's the Lord's table for? A is for those that have been saved. Those that have taken the Lord Jesus Christ up and that can identify with what we're talking about in this removal of sin. Then secondly is for those that have been baptized scripturally, that have submitted themselves under the authority of local church and have been plunged into the baptismal waters and have been buried with him in likeness of his death and been buried and planted together and raised in newness of life. It's for those. It's for those that are in good fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and have no unconfessed sin in their life. And it's for those three groups of people. Let me go through the scripture verse of reference. 1 Corinthians says, so let a man examine himself. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, an ordinary verse of scripture, before we partake of the Lord's table. Who is the Lord's table for? It's for those that have been saved, scripturally baptized, a member of this local church, of a church of like faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says this in verse number 29, verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily or in an unworthy manner, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So who is the Lord's table for? If you've been saved and scripturally baptized, and a member of this local church, then it's for you. If you've not been saved, if you've not been scripturally baptized, not a member of this church, it's not for you. Unless you're of a church of a like faith. Now, we don't have the communion police that are going to deter you from taking communion. And that choice is going to be on you. Parents, the choice is on you for your children. But the scripture states, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have a few moments to do business with God. And if you've got sins in your life, you need to confess those sins to him. If you've got aught against a brother, you need to get to that brother or sister and get it right. But that should have been done prior to coming here tonight, knowing that communion was tonight. Amen. So you should have been already ready for that. If God has revealed to you something that's in your life, you need to ask him to forgive you of that, cleanse you of that, and grant you the pardon that we just talked about. If you're not saved, I invite you to get saved tonight. I invite you to give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. I invite you to forego the penalty of hell and fall on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. There's a penalty of hell that I don't want to pay. I need to be born again. And maybe you need to do that tonight. But friend, I will encourage you, make sure that your heart's right. Make sure your heart's clean before you partake of the Lord's table, because it is not good if you do not. Father, bless now the next moments as each one of us examines his or her own heart. Lord, before we partake of the communion elements, I pray that your hand would guide, direct, and lead. Point out to us areas that maybe are unconfessed. And Lord, help us to acknowledge them before you. And Lord, do business with Almighty God. Lord, you have removed our sins, washed them away, blotted them out, wiped them, pardoned them, buried them, taken them, forgotten them. You've done so much. Now our part is to uncover them so that they can be gone and forgotten out of our own lives. You've done your part. Help us to do ours in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just for a few minutes, you pondering your heart, your life before God. Now to just reminisce what you've done for us, Lord. We have it so good being born again. And Lord, being saved and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to approach this time, Lord, with clean hearts, clean minds. Just remembering what you've done for us, Lord. We don't do it often, but you said as often as you do show the Lord's death till he come. And so, Lord, we're picturing here your death and what you did for us. And Lord, all the benefits we have now as a result of what you did. We're remembering those benefits of removing our sins, washing them away, blotting them out, wiping them like a cloud and parting them, bearing them, taking them away, forgetting them. Lord, thank you for what you have done. Work now in our remembrance over the next few minutes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is the time that we come to in our services. Men, come on forward. We're going to hand out the communion elements. And parents, you're in charge of your children. And make sure that if your children are saved, number one, and then baptized, number two, and then understand what this time is all about and let them partake. If they are not saved and they're not baptized, a member of this church, and I would refrain from letting them get involved in it at this time. But in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 26, Jesus said these words here. Amen. Let me get my page turned. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples. And that's what we're going to do now. And I hand these elements out to you guys. Oops, wrong one. Father, we thank you for your precious body that was bruised and battered for us. And thank you for the great penalty that was paid for our sins. Lord, as we begin to partake of these elements, Lord, help us to remember this gracious and great price that was paid for our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. As they hand the elements out, please don't partake yet until we all do so together. So just hold those until everyone gets some. Matthew 26, he says again, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Scripture says he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it as well. And so he took the cup and he gave the thanks for it. We're going to give the thanks for it and give that, distribute it, and do the same process. Make sure we don't drink that until we get done. Our Father, we thank you once again for the juice that represents the precious, untainted blood and the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. And all the things that we enjoy in this life is because the blood was spilled for us. It was given for our sins, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all sin. Thank you for that precious blood that was given for us in our place, Lord, knowing that our tainted blood could never do the job. But thank you that that precious, holy, sinless blood has wiped away, washed away, taken away all of our sins, and you remember them no more. Thank you for that great penalty that was paid for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Passage goes on to read, and he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So let us partake. Now, if you're in a pew there, there's holes in front of you. Just stack the cups all in front of the pews. Put them in the holes in the pews. Amen. And the verse 30 says, and when they had sung in hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And so we're going to sing one hymn, Amazing Grace. And whilst the ushers go to the nursery and get them to partake as well, so you guys can take that to the nursery. Make sure they get theirs. Let's all stand. And we're going to sing one hymn of Amazing Grace. And Pastor White will be standing by to give us our closing announcements. So let's all stand. Amazing Grace is hymn number. Miss Natasha, if you could aid me, what hymn number is that? 147. We're going to sing one stanza of 147. Then Pastor White's going to come and close us with the announcements. Let us know what's coming up this week. 147.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now.
They sung that hymn. They went out into the Mount of Olives. Pastor White's going to come. Just one change for the schedule on Wednesday. We'll come in on Wednesday. Our numbers are a little smaller, so we're going to be meeting in the fellowship hall on Wednesday. Save some air conditioning, electricity in this room, in this building as well. So we're going to be meeting over there temporarily on Wednesday nights. And so when you come on Wednesday, you can go directly over there. That's where we're going to be assembled at. Amen. And we're looking forward to Patch being online as normal. Amen. Amen. But just remember that change on Wednesday. Pastor White, cut our announcements and close us in prayer.
All right. Thank you, preacher. What a great time tonight to remember what our Lord has done for us, amen? And a walk through the scriptures is a perfect reminder of this upcoming season. Again, some of the things that are coming up that we do want to make you aware of. This Saturday, we're going to go out. It's going to be one of the first weekends. The next 2 weeks, we're going to go out passing out flyers, inviting people to our special service, one service that we're going to have for Easter, and that's going to be on the 15th, so on the 16th. So do come out and be a part of that this coming Saturday as we go out to saturate our community, reminding them of that. And again, do be in prayer for Dr. Nelson. We're not sure, as the pastor's already mentioned, for sure that he will be here for that. But if not, we'll be here at our regular time here at 5 p.m. in our church service. But if he's here, that would be on the Saturday, Sunday the 8th. It'll be at 6 p.m. up at Bethel Baptist Church. And then also this coming month on the 15th will be our men's devotion. So please plan on being here for that, men, and also invite other men out for that. It's always a great time as we look forward to getting together as men. We challenge from the Word of God, and it's just a blessed time on Saturdays. We get together, have fellowship, we have food, and the Word of God. Amen. So let's be in prayer about those things that are coming up, and we'll bow in prayer and ask God to bless us as we leave here tonight. Father, again, we thank you so much for your goodness, your grace and mercy, and God, how truly it is a great reminder to us of what you've done for us, and Lord, how you have blotted out, cleansed, removed, forgotten our sins, Lord, but let it be taken to us, be taken by for granted, Lord, what you did for us. But what again, I'm so thankful for how you blessed us, Lord, with your great grace and mercy that was shed on the cross for our sin. And help us to reflect this time of the year, Lord. It's not about the bunny. It's not about the eggs. It's about a resurrected Savior who died for our sin. And may we be a testimony in our community, reminding those that we work with, those that we talk to, those that we come in contact with, of what a great price that you paid for our sin. Again, Lord, we do pray for those that are down tonight, Lord, again, that they might sense your presence in their lives, that you raise them back up soon. Lord, if you tarry your coming, we look forward to being back in your house on Wednesday night. And again, we praise you and thank you for being God, for loving us and giving us the privilege to come before you in prayer, but also a privilege of assembling together to be reminded of what you've done for us. Again, we pray your blessings upon us as we leave this place. Bring us back at the appointed time. And we'll be careful now to praise you and to thank you for all that you've done. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.